I didn't even know that I could speak up and have different opinions. And then as I started to realize that I can, and that my opinion is valid, and that my instincts are right, I started to realize, oh, I can design a life I want to live.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I am in Los Angeles for one day in between the awesome Women in Tech road trip we just did from Los Angeles to Canada. I flew back from Montreal last night, and then tomorrow I'm going to Asia to celebrate the phenomenal Women in Tech there. But in between, I get the extraordinary pleasure of interviewing one of my dear friends, powerful woman in tech, someone that I've watched evolve into this like wonderful leader who I admire and aspire to be like, Sarah.
Oh my goodness. I have goosebumps. That was such a sweet and kind endorsement.
I mean it. It's amazing. Okay, go ahead and formally introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about what you do in the tech world.
I am Sarah Zarrell, and I'm the chief brand officer for a parking app called Pavement that connects people looking for parking with people that have parking to share.
And it's based here in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, right?
Yes, we have offices in Hollywood above two bars. So we're kind of like right above the fray. It's crazy below, but we have Serenity on the second floor.
And Pavement right now supplies parking in the Los Angeles area, but you'll be expanding beyond as well, right?
That's right. Right now, LA is our pilot city, but we'll be moving into new markets in 2018. So we're really, really excited to kind of take the model that we're proving here in LA out to the rest of America and hopefully the world.
So did you start out in tech?
No.
You guys, I know the answer.
Yeah. I did not. I actually thought I wanted to work in the entertainment industry as a little girl. Like, I knew I always wanted to make an impact, and I thought that the way to make an impact was to work in entertainment, because I was so moved by the five movies I was allowed to watch, being Anne of Green Gables, Anne of Avonlea, anything Jane Austen, The Waltons, and Little Women. And I thought it was so incredible to like watch those films and the way that they like moved you or motivated you or like changed your mood, that I was like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. So I moved to LA. And upon moving to LA, I started working in the entertainment industry. And I kind of realized that like, it wasn't for me. I was like, you know, I think I can make a bigger impact in a different industry. And I wasn't sure what that was. And I wasn't exactly sure like what I wanted to do if it wasn't acting.
And you got to work on some pretty significant shows, too.
Yeah, I did. I worked on a lot of different shows. The job that I had right as I was kind of transitioning into tech was I was standing in for Zooey Deschanel on New Girl. And it was such a great experience for me because they had such a community on that show. And like that cast and crew are just some of like the most incredible people. And I really felt like I was like a part of something and a family and like had this awesome support system. And actually like that whole cast and crew, I feel like really supported me like making the transition.
Yeah.
And I was able to kind of double dip and work in social media, which is how I started to first make the transition.
That was like your gateway drug.
Yeah. My gateway drug was like writing tweets for a marketing company called Phantom Firm, which is an amazing company that's done a lot of like really amazing, like groundbreaking things in marketing and especially in digital. And I was really lucky to be working with them. So I would like write tweets all day in between standing in and then be on conference calls on my lunch break. And then sometimes still be on those conference calls when I had to get back to work, be like, guys, can you keep it down? I'm on the phone with Pacific World Cosmetics. We've got really important nail polish problems to solve. I got to brand manage the shit out of this right now. And they were really great. And from there and from working at that marketing agency, I was offered, first I helped kind of project manage and develop some software to use internally to help kind of like streamline the process of all of this like tweeting and posting to build an internal tool. So that was kind of my first go at like working with developers. And I was like, oh, I'm actually really good at talking to them and telling them like exactly what I want and like thinking through the user experience.
Right.
So that was my first thing. And then from working at that marketing company, they had a client named Strut, which is a fashion app. And I ended up being basically poached from the marketing company to go join the Strut team full time. And that was a Google Ventures company that, and that's where I really got to immerse myself in the tech industry. And I stopped working on New Girl and I was working full time as head of content for this fashion app.
And then that parlayed into Pavement eventually.
Yeah. So I stopped working at Strut and I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I turned my attention to like brand because I think that developing a brand that people care about and can be addicted to is a really like important and incredible thing. And I was like, I can do that. Like I wanted to create something. And so I started doing like all this research about like how to create a brand and like read a laundry list of different books and listened to like podcasts and books on tape and TED Talks and kind of became like self-taught in the brand space. So when I stopped working at Strut, I was like, you know what?
And again, you guys, Strut was an app in the fashion world. So that's that. I think we said that, but just in case, it wasn't just a fashion company. It was an app in the fashion world.
It was like Tinder for fashion. Yeah. You basically swiped through and created outfits and shared those outfits with friends.
Yeah.
And it was like a social platform fashion app.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful experience. And the CEO, Mark Daniel, of that company is just like an incredible human. And it was a great experience to build that with him. So after I stopped working there, I was like, I think I want to help brand technology.
Yeah.
Because I love working in the tech space, because I love solving real life problems with like human powered and technology solutions.
Love
and if you can bring both of those together and you can build a tool that makes someone more efficient or that makes someone's life easier, like that's one of the coolest things you can do. And I wanted to brand that and I wanted to build like lifestyles around different apps. So after I went and on this like whole journey of learning everything there is to know about branding, I decided that I was going to start just like taking on independent clients and like giving them my two cents about what I thought they were doing right and what I thought they were doing wrong. And I was starting, and I built up a client base and small, but still like people were like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And so then I was sitting with a girlfriend grabbing a drink one night.
Yeah.
And at the time I was doing so many different things. So after I stopped working at Strut, somehow Samsung decided that I should be their stylist and like style like photo shoots for them.
That's a really cool gig.
Just like very random. I started styling for Samsung. And so I was like working in that space. And the girl I was having drinks with was a fashion designer.
Yeah.
And she was talking about like new verticals that she might want to get into.
Yeah.
And so when we were sitting at the bar and this guy started talking to us and he asked what she did, she said that she was a stylist.
Yeah.
And at the time, right, like I could have said brand expert on technology, or I could have said I'm a stylist too.
Yeah.
And in that moment.
Because you were both.
Because I was both.
Yeah.
I was doing both things. And so in that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm a brand expert and I specialize in technology. And he was like, oh, I have an app. And I was like, oh, yeah, everybody does. And I was kind of a bitch. And he was like, no, let me show you.
Yeah.
this is my idea. Yeah. We should get an NDA. Yeah. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying to have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And so he showed it to me and I gave him some like hard feedback.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think we should have a meeting. And I was like, I think you should build something different. And so we had a meeting and we started collaborating and he brought me onto the team and that's how Pavement was born.
That's
Pavement as we know it today.
And you're, other than having mentorship along the way, you're self-taught.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really had much mentorship. Stay tuned. More to come on mentorship in the coming years.
So how did you learn how to be a brand expert in the technology space?
That's such a great question. So I was homeschooled K through 12. And so I was pretty much like self-taught my whole life.
Yeah.
So learning a new skill or learning a new thought process is not like out of the ordinary for me.
Yeah.
And I'm used to not having a teacher and I'm used to like learning things on my own. And I know, and it's so much about like research, right? It's about like knowing how to learn. Like, can you learn something? Can you teach yourself something?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I really just did like a lot of research. And I think also so much about branding is about like knowing people and following your like gut.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed, I think, with like pretty good intuition
of
what people want and what people think and what people will use over and over and over again.
Totally.
So it's, I guess, like, I hate to be like, it comes naturally to me. But, yeah, I think, like...
But it comes naturally.
Yeah, there's, like, I have, like, an inclination, and now it's backed up with, like, a lot of knowledge. Yeah.
I'd really love for you to share the things that make you powerful today. And when I use the word powerful, just the characteristics about you and how that's really evolved from who you were 10 years ago. You're a lot stronger and you feel that I am proud of myself today, but I don't see you necessarily saying the same thing, at least not with that much vigor and strength at 10 years ago. Am I right?
Yeah. So 10 years ago, I was married and I got married very young and very quickly. And I decided that I couldn't be married anymore for a variety of reasons. And I basically just like packed up and left one day. And it was one of the hardest things that I've ever done because it's not easy to start over and it's not easy to start over in a new city. And I didn't have a ton of support in that because I think that it was just like very disappointing to a lot of people. And I was very young and people didn't understand. But I felt like if I stayed in that relationship and in that place in my life that I was like going to die and suffocate. And so I just like made the hard choice to do what I needed to do to be like a whole person, which in that time in my life was leave. And so I did. And from there, I mean, I wasn't even sure like what I was going to do. Like I had wanted to be an actress. So I started working in entertainment and started to like meet people. And it was a rocky road and came up against a bunch of adversity and like met some crazy people that completely destroyed me. And when I left that relationship, I also was like just totally like destroyed as a person. And, you know, because of how I was raised, like I was just raised very, very, very sheltered. And though I started going to college really young, I didn't have like there were a lot of things that I just didn't know about life and about like people and about relationships. Right. And I didn't like my opinions at that point were like very I don't want to say shallow, but they were just like limited experience.
Right.
And when you don't have experience, sometimes it's hard to like form opinions. And
right.
When you're only able to access a small amount of like information because your worldview is crafted by other people,
right?
it's really hard to like know anything outside of the worldview that you were like taught in a bubble.
Right.
And so it was rough. Like it was rough coming up to LA and being like, oh, wait, what? Oh, like this is not like all these things I thought were true are not true.
Right.
And then from there, that gave me the opportunity to decide what is true and what's true for me. And I started to learn more and research more and read more. And
I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, that's something that I'm struggling with. I was sharing with you off the podcast is the idea of what's true for you. And what I really admire about you is you're very confident in your perspectives today. In a really admirable way. It's not like cocky or egotistical or closed-minded. You're just like confident. And the you 10 years ago didn't have that fierce confidence in a point of view and opinion. Yeah.
I mean, not at all. I mean, me 10 years ago, I think like I was taught to be a certain way. And I think like, I mean, I was just in a place where I was definitely like, I was who I was told to be, full stop. And I didn't even know that, as silly as that sounds, like I didn't even know that I could be someone else. I didn't even know that I could like speak up and have different opinions. And then as I started to realize that I can and that my opinion is valid and that my instincts are right, I started to realize, oh, I can design a life I want to live and I can do that through hard work. And I can do that by like trusting my gut. And I think that that's the hardest thing. I think the hardest thing is to like trust yourself to know like what is right for you. And then also knowing that what's right for you doesn't have to be right for someone else.
Right.
Because each person is entitled to their own opinions and is an individual. And so, I mean, I used to be so focused on like what other people thought of me. It's like, oh my gosh, like, are they going to like me?
Yeah.
I was bullied as a little girl and I didn't have a lot of friends. And so that was like a really important thing to me. But as I was kind of developing and I've grown exponentially in the last 8 years.
Right.
Like I'm a completely different person than I was 8 years ago.
Right.
A lot of that is just being like, you know what? This is what's true for me. If you don't like it, you can go fuck yourself.
How do you get there? I love that you're there, but how do you get, and we've known each other for like 6 years now. How do you get there?
The struggle is real, man.
Like, I'm not there.
The struggle is so real. I don't even know if I'm actually there. I think that it's just like you fight hard enough and you go through enough stuff that you're like, you know what? I've got to keep on keeping on. And now as a leader of a company, right, my decisions matter. I have to be right. And when I'm wrong, I have to admit that I'm wrong and fix it. And I have to like come up with a solution and I have to find a way to make it right if I do make a mistake. And that means that a lot of thought has to go into it and I have to be methodical. But then there's times when you don't have time to think it through and you have to make a snap judgment and you just hope it's right.
I'm so proud of you. And I think it's really important to hear your story. For me, your story is a story of self-transformation from someone searching really who they are into becoming a fierce, powerful leader. I love it.
Well, thank you for that. For me, really, the transformation is going from someone who was the person that I was told to being myself and discovering myself. And that's not easy. And I think to like be open and be raw and learn and hold a mirror and know that sometimes the things that you're feeling are wrong and sometimes they're right.
Yeah.
And sometimes the shitty stuff that people are saying to you, like that's not yours, that's theirs. And then being able to separate the two, I think that's like the biggest lesson.
So hard.
And that's a lesson I've learned like this year is being like, oh, that's not mine. That's yours. You feel uncomfortable about that. I don't feel uncomfortable about that. But you have to know yourself well enough to know to be able to separate it. And just like really digging in to like your own values and then just sticking to them and then it being okay when they change. I feel like that none of this is good advice.
No, I think it's real. It's something I'm struggling with. I mean, not to get into too much detail, I'm just like going through that right now. What are my really confident perspectives on my own worldview and what my truth is. And my truth doesn't have to be the same as your truth, but what are my values? Like with my business coach, we were working out that my values are clear, clean communication and being, you know, honest, really showing up. There's just so many things because that I'm a person of integrity. And so I want to feel like, you know, if somebody doesn't do something in the best way that they own it, or, you know, just clear, it doesn't, nobody has to be perfect, but just having that clear community and really defining my values, defining what is my definition of a friend? What is my definition of leader? What kind of life do I want? Where, you know, just everything, questioning myself on everything. And it's so uncomfortable. It's not
the most uncomfortable. Looking inward is the most uncomfortable thing you can do. But
yeah,
looking inward and not being afraid of burning down what you've built to rebuild and make something stronger, yeah, I think is like one of the most admirable things a person can do.
Yeah. And it's so confusing when someone tells you their opinion and then you have to have enough confidence in your own and enough power in yourself to either be okay or not be okay with it, and how you're like, that's their stuff. And I'm not in a place yet where I can decipher that's their stuff. I haven't gotten to your level. And so that's why I admire the strength behind it, because it's really, really, really hard to get there.
So hard.
To just, wait, is it me? Is there something wrong with me? Do I need to change?
Probably not.
You know?
It's probably never that. It's okay to hold a mirror. We should hold a mirror and like look inward and stare at the wall and think about your feelings and see how you feel when you're alone. And it's okay, I think, to assess how other people make you feel, for sure. But really knowing if someone's saying something that's hurtful, or if someone reacts negatively,
yeah,
right, to something, if you're like, I don't know, this is going to be a terrible example, yeah, but I'll say like, you never eat the crust of your pizza.
Yeah.
And they're like, I always eat the crust of my pizza. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are crazy for, yeah, thinking that I don't eat the crust of my pizza. Look, I'll eat the crust of my pizza right now.
Yeah.
And then for you to be like, no, actually, I've had pizza with you 100 times and you've never ate the crust of your pizza until right now. And sometimes you don't even have to say that, but,
yeah,
just like making that connection in your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, this is a trigger for them. They obviously have some shit about crust of pizza.
Yeah.
And know that it doesn't matter. And then all those hurtful things that they said when, yeah, they were on a pizza crust eating, yeah, tirade,
yeah,
and they said all those hurtful things,
yeah,
that would normally make you just crumble and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, I should eat the crust of my pizza.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do I sometimes not eat the crust of my pizza?
That's totally my head.
Right?
The,
like,
past,
oh,
few,
my
weeks.
God. Yeah. Oh my God. Fuck. I don't eat the crust of my pizza. There was that one time at summer camp where,
yeah,
I didn't, and like,
yeah,
those kids didn't like me.
Yeah.
No, like, stop. Like, stop that inevitable drift in your head and just be like, oh, your reaction is telling me that that's yours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be like, I can either, if I want to,
yeah,
right, get into it. You can call them out, right?
Yeah.
And be like, no, you actually don't eat the crust on your pizza.
Yeah.
And you're acting kind of crazy right now. And it's like totally not cool. And I think that this is going to have a negative impact on our communication.
Yeah.
So we should probably like end this conversation and pick it up later.
Yeah.
Or you could try to talk to them about it, but know that if they're at that place,
yeah,
there's no point in talking to them about it. So it's probably best to just be like, oh, okay, like that's yours.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the weather?
Yeah.
And I'm using really passive subjects or like,
no, but
safe
it,
subjects.
It applies
to
like
everything.
What I've been going through. I was in an experience recently where I was challenged on who I am, and I crumbled because I didn't feel that same confidence you have to be able to say, hey, stop. You know what? I am a powerful leader. And you can't interfere with that.
I mean, also, I'll say that when people go on tirades about not eating their pizza crust,
yeah,
since that's the analogy we're going, yeah, with right now,
yeah,
I do think that sometimes the more powerful move is to just walk away. Being a strong leader, like if you're a strong leader, you don't have to say, I am a strong leader.
Yeah.
Right? I never know.
You don't even need to challenge
you
it.
You don't even need to. Like you either are or you're not. And you, yeah, should never have to say it. So in situations like that, just try to be like, I hear you and like I want to dive into this in like a safer space.
I love that.
But that, I don't master that all the time.
Yeah.
I have close partners that I've worked with for years now. Pavement's been a project since 2015, and I've been intimately involved with it. And we have team members that have been with us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have debates all the time. And even when I started working at Pavement, I wasn't even as, I didn't feel as safe to speak up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was because I wasn't sure if I was right and I was terrified of being wrong.
Right.
And then I kind of just had to stop being afraid of being wrong and start not being afraid to fail. And know that like it's actually good to fail. If you're failing, at least you're trying. It's lame to not try things, and you should try things. And if you fail, like who cares? That means you've learned a lesson and you're going to be stronger. And I mean, in my wake is a sea of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I learned from every one of them, and some of them I'm still learning from.
Totally.
But just like trying to pick up and like make the best of every situation and know that at the very least it's a lesson. And maybe it's a lesson for me, or maybe it's a lesson that I can use down the line to teach someone else. And just like, I don't know, reconcile all of the things that you've been told about yourself your entire life and figure out how all of that fits in with like your heart and how you actually feel.
Totally.
I think my biggest piece of advice would be to not be afraid to fail and to be brave and be ruthless and just design the life that you want to live and not take no for an answer and don't listen to what other people say whenever you hear those negative things and just like let it roll off your back and like be brave.
Yeah.
And know that it's okay to be strong and it's okay to speak up because it is. And that's how you'll be happier as a human and how you'll be a leader and inspire people.
How do you handle it when you do speak up and then someone challenges you back, almost like an aggressive state of conflict? Because I find it really uncomfortable and scary. And then I'm just like, okay, fine. You're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I used to completely shut down. And now I think that, I don't like to fight and I don't really like to debate and I don't like controversy at all. Like I don't thrive in those situations. But I think I usually just go with like, I hear you. Like we share different opinions. What I think is right is X. And that doesn't mean that I think you're wrong. It just thinks that I think this is what's right. And if it's in like a work situation where I have the final say,
yeah,
then I just say, and I appreciate your feedback, but we're going to go with mine, which is X. Like, drop the mic.
It's
my call, and I'm going to make it. And you don't have to agree. And we can talk more about why you think that. And I'm always open to hear the argument.
Yeah,
as long as it's not from a place of like an adversarial place, because that's just a waste of time.
Completely.
Just like complete waste of time to argue.
I think this has been incredible. You love your team.
I have an amazing team.
How do you cultivate a great team? Talk about puppies and bubbles.
So I love our team, and I actually am so proud to say that we have like a 1-to-1 ratio of men and women, which in the tech community is, I don't know, it just seems pretty rad.
Yeah.
And we've done that because we've left gender completely out of the hiring process. And when I interview and when I'm going through resumes, I'm not just looking at what's on the page. I always have a 2-interview process. Like you come in and I meet with you and we talk and they're usually very nervous.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, cool, let's have a second meeting. You pick the spot.
Yeah.
And then I go and like meet with them in their environment so you can really get a sense of who they are and if they jive and if I think they're going to jive with the team. Because I think company culture and like building a group of people that are going to be able to collaborate with each other is really important. And then I guess in that way, I just kind of trust my gut and ask like a bunch of weird questions about their feelings usually. and which is probably like totally weird and possibly illegal. no, I don't want, I don't ask any illegal questions, but just like, hey, how do you react in this situation? Like, how does this make you feel?
No, it makes sense.
Talk to me about your mom.
Right.
Do you like the ocean? And then once they come on board, I just really try to like take the time to know them and know what, you know, people communicate in so many different ways.
Right.
And people receive communication and direction in different ways.
Right.
So as a leader, you have to be able to talk to each team member in the way that's going to make them thrive.
Right.
Regardless of if that's the way that you normally talk to people.
Right, right.
That's why like getting to know them is so important and figuring out like how to make them thrive individually, because it's not just one group of people. It's like a team of individuals, right? Right? So I want to celebrate their strengths and put them in places where they will shine and hear them. So that's really important. And then the other thing is like you just have to like keep morale up, which everybody wants different things. So sometimes it's hard to like please everyone. But I think the best way to say thank you is to do something during the workday that people will enjoy. It's like fun. And so most recently, we did our press launch about a week ago. And the Thursday before we were planning on doing it on Tuesday, I called a mandatory like all hands on deck meeting on our roof, because we've got this like really amazing rooftop patio at our office space. And I asked everybody to like clear their schedules and make sure all their work was done for the day, so that when they came on the roof at 5 p.m., they didn't have anything and that I, you know, needed to make an announcement and we needed to talk. And so we did that. And then they didn't know it, but what I actually did is that I got some champagne and ordered puppies off of puppiesandreptiles.com or puppiesandreptilesforparties.com. Anyway, I have no affiliation with them, but they did bring adorable puppies. And I just had each team member come up on the roof and I handed them a glass of champagne and they got to play with puppies and I had dessert and stuff. And in that instance, like I did the prep instead of sending like my assistant to go buy the champagne or to book the puppies. I did it because I think that also as a leader, you have to take out the trash sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have to like do the grunt work. And when you're doing something to celebrate the team, you have to like do the work to do it. You can't like have somebody else do it. And hopefully that showed them I honor and respect their time and that I want them to have a good experience. So they got to play with puppies for 2 hours on the roof and drink champagne. And we did a nice cheers celebration of we're now a public in the marketplace. You can park with us. We want you to park with us. And everybody had a great time and it was just great for morale boosting. And I think it's just like bringing the team together and allowing them and encouraging them to be friends with each other, because friends work harder for each other. And I'm very lucky because I feel like the team works very hard for me because they want to make me proud and because I recognize them. And I think it's important to recognize individually and recognize the team as a whole.
I love it. Yeah. So pavement, it's like Airbnb for parking.
It is like Airbnb for parking.
How can people connect with you?
People can connect with me on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah Zarrell. So that's just at SARAHZURELL. And you can tweet at me or send me a direct message if you have any questions.
And thank you for hanging out. It's probably by now it's probably 11 o'clock at night. We rocked it out in the Santa Monica Sound Studio so late on this very night when she's been up since 6 in the morning. She is a hustler, driven, amazing, ambitious, powerful leader, and a woman in tech. Thank you for hanging out with the Women in Tech Podcast.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me.
This has
been awesome. And you are such a powerful and inspiring woman in tech.
Thank you.
And I feel so blessed and lucky to be in your company.
Thank you so much. If you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. It's at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group, so you don't have to check which Facebook group to go to. And if you want to say hello on social, at Women in Tech Show on all the social channels. I will talk to you girls, see you girls, hear you girls, or guys, whoever's listening, on the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Woo!
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.